بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم ربنا زدنا علما. Continuing our discussion about the case of لا إله إلا الله, that was the first part of the confession, first confession or confession of the first pillar of Islam. We started to talk about the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam when he came on a shape of a human being, as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu described him, that he came with a white clothes, black hair. He was not a traveler, but he was not one of the Medina people. So he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him some questions. He asked him about Islam, about Iman, about Ihsan, and about the hour, which is the ending time of this earth. Since he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him about the question of Islam by the five pillars of Islam, and he answered him about the question of Iman by the six pillars of Iman, and so on. So we are talking about the first pillar of Islam now. We said that the first pillar of Islam, which is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this pillar will not be beneficial to the person who says this unless he has three conditions. The first condition is to understand and know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. And we said that is, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second condition is to practice it in life, because just a theory will not affect the human being's life, will not be good enough for a human being. And the third condition to benefit from La ilaha illallah is to be free or saved from the contradictions of La ilaha illallah, those things which is nullifying the effectiveness of La ilaha illallah. And we talked about three of them. So tonight we are talking about the fourth contradiction, which is divided into two cases. The first case, that if there is someone thinks that the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is less than or less perfect than the other's guidance, hadi of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best. Why? Because he is a messenger of Allah, and he is taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to deal with things. So he gave us the guidance. He was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and sustainer of the universe, of everything. So his way of life was the best. So if someone thinks that there is another one of this human being having a better way of life, a better guidance than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is falling into the major kufr, and he is excluded from Islam. So he is nullifying La ilaha illallah. He is contradicting La ilaha illallah. What about the hadi or the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do we mean by the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Actually, it is all what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done through his life. The way he treated people, the way he treated his family, his surrounding people. We'll take some examples of that. He dealt with the people around him with the best way to deal with human beings. Take an example of that Bedouins who came to the masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because he was an ignorant person, he needed to go to make urine. So he went on one side of the masjid and he left out the urine. So Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry, they wanted to stop him. Maybe hit him. Maybe kick him out. And Muhammad SAW told him, no, wait, hold. Until the guy finished, he brought him, he asked him to come, and he told him, the masjid or masajid is not for these things. Masajid is for salah, for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things will be done far away. And he told his sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered them to put some water on that so it will go in the soil and khalas, finished. Now look at this case. An ignorant person doing some wrong thing in the masjid, but he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way, if his guidance of this such a case was the best. He knew that this person is an ignorant and he doesn't know that this is incorrect to do in the masjid. This person or this Bedouin who came from the desert thinks that it's alright to do it anywhere. He is used to it. This person is used to do whenever he needs to go to the bathroom. He has no bathroom or restroom or WC. He just do it in anywhere. So he goes, this is the same thing on the masjid or anywhere else. So Muhammad SAW was calm. He did not jump into it. He stopped his sahaba from doing anything. Then he called that person and he explained to him that this masjid or this masajid is not for these things and they are not supposed to be dirtied by these things. So this man was so happy. In some of the hadith riwayah narrated by some sahaba, they said that that man ended up to say, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give mercy to him and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else. Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. So that man, because he liked the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with him, he asked Allah for mercy for himself and for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only. But, and he said, and don't give mercy to anybody else. Yani, just because he was so angry with sahaba who wanted to give him a hard time or kick him out of the masjid. However, also, another example of the way of treatment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the hadi of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with people. A man came to take back a debit. And that man gave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some money as a debit, as a loan. And he came to take it back. The time for it came, and maybe 1 year, and he came to take it. And that man, he started to say bad words and harsh words to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are not giving me my money, you are this, this and this. And he started to give him bad words. So sahaba were so angry. How is he treating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this way? How is he saying this? Bad words to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, no, wait. Let him say what he wants. He has the right. He has the money. He's the one who gave us the money. So he calmed down sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave him the money. And so many other cases you will find on the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was always, he never gets angry for himself. If someone say bad words to them, to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or treat him badly. Even that Bedouin who came to him and he cut his clothes and dragged him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly and said, give me the money from the money you have received. It's not your father's money. It's not your mother's money. Give me some of it. Of course, as I said before, those Bedouins who are living in the desert especially, they are not having the civilized way of treatment. They are affected by the weather outside, where there is heat, so much heat, so much يعني, dust, so much يعني, cold, and they have no time for these يعني, nice words to say, excuse me, please, and these things, they don't know it. So he came directly, he caught Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this, and he dragged him and said, give me some of the money you have. It's not your mother's money or your father's money. Give me some of it. So how did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deal with this? He was smiling to the person and saying, give him money. So put in mind that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guidance, the way he deals with people is the best. So if someone thinks that he is or someone else better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guidance, he is falling into major kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us in his holy book, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Who has gave him the best guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us in the other ayah, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. So he is nice with us, with his sahaba, with the people later on.
So he has the best guidance.
Even with his family, with his wife, how did he deal with them? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was he so harsh? Was he giving them bad time? Was he hitting them? No way. He all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, treated them fantastically. Including Aisha, who was the youngest one of them. She was only a teenage. When he died, she was only 18 years old. When he married her, she was only 9 years. He treated her the best. He was always bringing her colleague girls who are the same age to play with them. And sometimes she gets angry and she says some bad words to him, and he smiles. He doesn't get angry. So he never gets angry for himself. But when it comes, someone will do bad things to the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Islam, he gets so angry. For himself, he doesn't take refuge. He doesn't get angry for himself, but he gets so angry for Islam, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see this easily in the way of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you read his seerah. You'll find a lot of these examples. So how can someone say that the guidance of others are better than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is falling into major kufr, na'udhu billah. The second part of this contradiction, number four, contradiction, is someone thinks that the judgment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the best. Judgment in what? In everything. In every way of life. In everything that he made judgment sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone thinks that somebody else or anybody else will be better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will fall into major kufr. If he rejects the judgment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judgment of Islam, he falls into major kufr. Why? First of all, let's know why we say so. Why we say so? Why we give so harsh judgment for those people who reject the judgment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We say they are falling into major kufr. Why? It's easy to say that because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't make judgment from his own. All his judgment sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. What he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever judgment he is making it because he is leaded and guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why his sunnah is another wahy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is wahy and sunnah also is wahy. Quran is completely from Allah, meaning and words. Sunnah is from Allah as a meaning, but from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as words. So it's another wahy. So every judgment he made sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best. If someone thinks that somebody will be better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in judgment, he will fall into major kufr. An example of that person, and he was a hypocrite in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a problem with a Jew in Medina. So they decided to go to someone to be a judge between these two. The Jew wanted to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for judgment. And the hypocrite did not want to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first of all, they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they said, "Ya Abu Bakr, we have this problem, give us your judgment." So he gave them the judgment for the Jew against the hypocrite. Although nobody knows that he's a hypocrite. Of course, hypocrite is showing something and concealing something. Nobody knows about it. Hypocrite did not accept the judgment of Abu Bakr. So he told the Jew, "Why don't you go to Umar radiallahu anhu warda?" Again, the Jew said, "Okay, fine." So they went to Umar radiallahu anhu for judgment. So the Jew said, "Ya Umar, this guy and I went to Abu Bakr for judgment, and he gave us a judgment. This guy doesn't like it. We want your judgment. Our case is such and such and such." He said, "Is that true?" The hypocrite said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, wait for me." He went inside, brought his sword, and cut the head of the hypocrite. Because he did not accept the judgment of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is said by Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr does not make judgment from his own also. So put in mind that nobody rejects the judgment of Allah, which is also said by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except he is a kafir. Upon the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
He told us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only judging by Quran and Sunnah. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. So Allah is giving him the judgment. And also, we have been told by so many other eyes that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making judgments from Quran and Sunnah, from his, not from his own, but all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, every Muslim must accept, not only accept, but enjoy and like the judgment of Allah and Rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we go to a court as an example, and the judge is making judgment by Sharia, of course, says, the other guy is right, I am wrong, I should obey, accept this and like it because it's from Quran and Sunnah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it's against me, still I will like it. Because Allah told us clearly in His holy book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. And in the other ayah, about those people who did not accept the judgment of Allah and of Rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. So many people in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to run away from the judgment of Allah and Rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because they know it will not be in their sight. So they looked for someone else to make judgment. So they went to some Jew, Taghut, Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. He was one of the heads of Jew, and he was called as a Taghut also. So those people who do not like the judgment of Islam, they want the judgment of civil courts. Because these civil courts will give them what they want, they are falling into major kufr. So a Muslim must, there is no choice, it's a mandatory case that he should go, he must go to someone to make judgment with Sharia. Somebody will say, okay, what if we do not have Sharia court? What if we cannot have our rights unless we go to the civil courts? First of all, every Muslim group, even if they are 10 people, 5 people, they should assign one of them who knows better about Sharia to be their judge if they cannot have an Islamic court in their area or their land. And if the problem comes with some other kafir, with a kafir, an example is, I am in India, suppose, and there, if I have an accident or trouble with Hindu or Christian or someone else, he will not come with me to the Islamic court. What can I do? Very easy. You can't go to the civil court and have your rights. You cannot have. But you have to put in mind that if you can go to the Islamic court, to Sharia court, we must, and we have no other choice. These things truly will lead us to talk later on about the judgment of those people who do not judge by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we'll leave this inshallah later on because it will take us a little bit of while. What we need really to talk about more and more is that we Muslims are not allowed to go and find judgment by someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, His book is available. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His sunnah is available. Why do we go and look for others? Why are we trying to beg from the others their laws? Since we have the law of Allah and Rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best law, because the one who made this law is Allah, the creator and sustainer of everything. He knows better subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made this sharia for us the best. No one can find a better way to rule people and deal with people and judge among people better than Sharia. No way. Because we know that the one who descended this Sharia is Allah, the one who created everybody. And He knows the best for them. That's why Allah Ta'ala told us in His holy book, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. It's not just to go to half judgment by Sharia,
It is also to feel that it is good and the best, and also enjoy. Why? Because we know it is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The legislation, the law is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows the best? Why are we looking for other legislation? Why are we looking for... That's the case. Those people who are running away from Sharia and trying to find civil court or somebody to judge among them by like the head of tribes and so on, who are not using Sharia as a judgment or legislation, they are actually falling into major kufr. If they show it, they are clearly kafir. If they hide it, they are hypocrites. So they are not running away anywhere. What does that mean? It means that every Muslim really must love Islam. Must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Must love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By words only? By words only? Oh, I love you, ya Rasulullah. Or is it by action? If we really love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should really love his Sharia, his Sunnah. And find out how to use it for our judgment. In the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a judgment. He made some kind of segregating money among some of his Sahaba. One man came to him and he said, be just, i'dil, be just. Subhanallah. So Muhammad said, who will be just if I am not? That man left. Then Muhammad said, this man, he will lead a bad group fighting every Muslim. That was Al-Khawarij. And he did. Subhanallah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, after a few years of that, or some years of that, he had a battle with them, and he found that person specially leading the group fighting Muslims. So no one really, no true Muslim, will say that Muhammad's judgment is incorrect. Or there is a better judgment. Like what? Like the French law, or British law, or this law, or that law. Alhamdulillah, Sharia of Islam is very clear, very easy, very simple, and very just. When you come to see that those people who steal, thieves, when they are caught and the case is clear and he admits that, his hand will be cut. Some people say, yeah, Sheikh, this is too much. If we do so, most of the people will be without hands. La, ya Habibi. No, not true. One cut will make thousands of people never see. As Allah tells in His holy book, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Qisas is to cut hand or to chop head. But it is alive for us. It is a true life for us. Why? Because when we chop one hand or cut one head, then a lot of people, thousands of people will think so many times before they start to steal or kill the others. When you see these countries who are using some other law other than Sharia, a person he kills, they take him to jail. If he cannot arrange a strong lawyer to take him out, the whole case, he will stay in jail for some time, then he will leave. So he already killed the person. And he stayed in jail some time, and ma'as-salam, he's out. But in Islam, he knows that if he kills someone, he will be killed. So he will not kill. He will not kill. Not only him, but the others also. That's why we are ordered in Sharia that if we are killing someone, qisas, if we are killing someone, we should kill him in front of the other. So when they see him killed, oh, lots of people will never think about it. Nobody will go and try to kill again. So a lot of people will be saved by Sharia. If we are cutting the hand of a thief, we should do this in front of the others, in front of people. And when they see this, lots of people will never think of stealing, because they know they will lose their hand. Is this savage? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The one who made this Sharia and these rules and this qisas is the creator and sustainer of everybody. He knows what's the best for us. That's why he told, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. We should think of it again and again. if we really practice truth in our life, if we throw rocks into the person who makes zina while he is already married or divorced, yani he's already been through marriage, when we throw rocks in him, thousands of people will never think of doing zina. If they are not afraid of Allah, they will be afraid of being killed. So we have two cases, or two sides of the problem, or the case. A person will be afraid of Allah, that's what it's supposed to be. But if shaitan plays with him and he is so weak with shaitan and he falls into zina, then he will be killed. So he will be afraid now. If he is not afraid from Allah, he will be afraid from killing. That's why, in time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, he assigned Umar ibn Khattab as a judge. Umar was a judge. For 1 year, nobody came to him. Nobody came to him. No, even a single case was filed. What happened? He came back to Abu Bakr and said, "Yeah, Abu Bakr, I don't want to be a judge." He said, "Why?" He said, "Nobody comes to me. Everybody knows what his right and the other's right. He doesn't." But now, people are really creating every day thousands of ways to play around with the laws. They steal your money, or they play around with your money or your salary. They get, you, subhanAllah, you find strange things. Every day they protect you, they create a new way of playing around with the banks, with the money, with that, with this. Even with dirty things, they are using mobiles instead of using them in the good things and calling to the others and so on. They are using them to follow bad things like ladies or bad Bluetooth and so on. Why? Because the fearless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no more there for 3 weeks. So what if we have some hypocrites or bad Muslims who are not feared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They must be feared of Sharia. If they are not feared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be feared of Sharia, because Sharia is not going to let them to play around with Muslims. I still remember so many times I have seen youngsters, young boys, young guys, teenagers, or more than that, they are brought in front of the schools of the girls, and they hit upon the judgment of the judge with sticks, 80 sticks, 70 sticks, 50 sticks, 100 sticks on his back in front of the girls and the others. So people, when they see this, they will never play around with the girls when they leave the schools. So Sharia and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, judgment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best. No doubt. The one who has doubt on that, he is falling into major kufr. Because Allah is the one who made this Sharia. So why we have doubt? Yani without seeing the result, we are supposed to believe in that it's the best. But if we also see the result, we are having more and more belief that it is the best. I still remember 20 years ago or more in Riyadh and here, some of the markets, or baqal as you call them, they put only small robe or clothes on their things and they go. They don't close the door. They just put small clothes to cover the area and they go. They are 100%, nobody will come and see. Now you cannot do this, because practicing of Sharia is not as strong as usual, or as supposed to be. Go and see in the West as an example. In New York, electricity gone for some time. Hour, maybe? I don't know. I can't remember now. So many banks were stolen in that time. How many banks? So many banks. Just like this, when the electricity was off, so many thieves were running around to catch money from these banks. Why? Because they were not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are not also afraid of the Sharia or legislation of Islam. In the West, you can easily play around with the law. If you are rich, you can hire a very strong lawyer. So many cases of killing, one strong lawyer with some good money, he can take the person out from the whole case. But in Islam, a true Muslim will be afraid of Allah first of all.
But if shaitan plays around with him, he will be afraid of sharia then. So back to the case that we Muslims believe with no doubt that the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best, and no one is like him in the guidance. And the one who thinks, anyone who thinks that there is a better guidance or better judgment than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's judgment or guidance, he is falling into major kufr and he is contradicting la ilaha illallah. That was the case tonight, as early as possible. And if you have any questions, we can inshallah talk about it. Jazakumullah.
The result of Sharia,
the
crime rate is very less compared with other.
Yes, yes, of course. We gave examples of what is happening, say an example in Saudi Arabia, because they are using Sharia as much as they can or as possible. If you compare it to other places, you'll find difference. So that in times Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the same. Yani, take as an example, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was sleeping in the masjid with no gardeners, no bodyguards, no anything. That's why when this Al-Hurmuzan, one of the leaders of Persian Empire, when he came to meet Umar radiallahu anhu, they told him, he asked about him, where's his palace? Palace? He's joking. What palace for Umar? They said, that's his house, but you can find him in the masjid. He said, what? He came to the masjid, he found Umar ibn Khattab lying, sleeping, alone, with no guards. He said, where's the gardeners? Where? So he said, his clear say, that you were just, so you were not afraid, so you slipped. We need to come back to our Islam. Islam is a complete way of life. That's why Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I come back to Islam, if we come back to Islam, we will never think of hurting our Muslim brothers. We will never think of stealing our Muslim brothers. We will never think of killing Muslim brothers. We will never... That, and if shaitan plays around with us, we will be afraid of sharia. Because sharia will not let us go with it. That is the true society of Islam. You want to see it? See it on the story life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman Ali. How many times you find the crime happening in their lives? Any questions, brothers? Yeah. Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah khair, inshallah. See you inshallah next week.